Blog Talk Radio.
Oh my goodness. Ha. Well, glory be to God. Good evening to all of you in the community of faith. Jesus help us. It's good to have you with us tonight. Thank God for technology. Welcome to another in the series of the community of faith and the program we call Establishing Your Faith. With this community of faith, led by the author and finisher of our faith, teaching us the greatest book on faith, the Bible. Every time you come here, we are asking our Father to help you be established in His Word and in the life of faith every time you come here. And thank God for you being a part of what we do. All of you who are here from time to time, some of you every night, some of you on and off, we thank you for your friendship and your partnership with us, honestly. I saw it more, the importance of it greater and greater, the farther that we went through this weekend of this victory campaign with Brother Copeland and his team there in Fargo. And I saw opposition to their technologies. I watched his team work with it. I watched everybody adapt, improvise, adapt, and overcome. And I came to this realization, which I'm sure we've seen before. But as you know, as we're fighting our own battle, sometimes it's easy to look at ourselves and say, what's wrong with me that I have all this opposition? And people like Brother Copeland, they don't ever face any of this stuff. Well, just so you know, they do face this stuff. And I got to watch this weekend as they dealt with it and overcame it. And, you know, it was very encouraging to me to be able to see these mighty warriors of the cross overcome in the manner that they did. And one of the most interesting processes of it is to realize that there's some of the people on his team that's been doing this. One guy told me he's been on his road team now, his road crew, his road body, whatever you call it, for 27 years. And I'm like, man, you've seen some stuff happen in 27 years. He said, yes, I have. I've seen a lot of stuff happen. And he just stood there and talked to me for a little bit. And he just said it. It doesn't matter what goes on. The longer I do this, the more I realize we just got to stand in faith together. And there's nothing that we can't overcome as a group of believers standing in agreement together. And as I watched that night that the power went off, I was telling Dan this, and then I told Sunday, now I'm going to tell you guys. That night that the power went off, while it wasn't actually the power, it was actually the generator that they had rented, because it always takes Isn't that something? It always takes more juice than what a hotel can put out. Well, all right. Everybody just pause a second here. Nothing like just speaking it and then... watching it happen right in front of your eyes. Anyways, when the power went off, to watch that team go into work and hear Brother Copeland immediately speak faith and then just go right back into it. It's like he didn't even miss a step, which I'm not sure whether I just missed a step or not, but if I did, I'll get better at this. And then just keep right on a move. No matter what. Just keep right on a moving. And knowing that all of us are going to pull together and stand alongside of one another. And there ain't nothing. There ain't nothing that the enemy can do to stop the work of God. Zero. There's nothing. It's like right now tonight, I scheduled this program on the Read the Word link rather than the Establishing Your Faith link. So I'm not sure how I'm going to correct that. However, we're just going to let it go and watch God give us an answer on that here in a little bit. All right, I got one more share to make here. Two more. So, thank you guys for your faith for us all weekend, praying for us and the protection and all that. God said he'd never leave us. He'd never forsake us. He never has and he never will. And we are excited. Sister Phyllis, we got one to you, Brother Roger. And our new friends we met. All right. Well, we might as well just get started like we normally do. Here we go. Thank you, Father. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for all of my brothers and sisters. Thank you for everyone in the community of faith that has been here somewhere throughout this ministry since its beginning in March of 2020. Thank you that you have been alive and well and active and powerful in every single time we met. Whether we all felt like we were on top of the world or felt like we had to have our brothers and sisters help us fight off every enemy there was, you're still the same. You're the one that said this is a healing room. So tonight, Father, this is our prayer. Make this a healing room tonight for people. You're the one that said to speak the word boldly. We're going to speak it boldly. You're the one that said that people will come to a revelation of God that they never knew before. And we give you the glory and honor and praise for it. Guide every word I say, every one of us, as we use our gifts tonight, to be a blessing to each other, to stand alongside of each other, and to see this great mission that you've given to us be accomplished here on this earth. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. So, here we go. Let's share this page, and we'll start like we do every time, with our Pledge of Allegiance, and then our opening prayers of confession and agreement that we stand in together every time we come here. Thank you, Father, that you've given us an assignment like we have. Share the screen. Couple more clicks here. Screen is shared. Rise together with me. We'll make our pledge of allegiance. Thank you, Jesus, for this wonderful studio you've given us. Glory to your name. Here we go. Render your honor. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And now, we'll have a moment of silence as we remember those who are missing in action, those who have paid that last full measure of devotion, those who in their lifetime, because of combat, bear the scars of battle in their spirit, their soul, and in their body. This moment of silence is in honor of every family of the fallen who will stand somewhere today in honor of their loved one's life lived and service rendered. This moment of silence will last for 21 seconds in honor of the 21 rifle volleys fired at the funeral of a fallen soldier. This moment of silence begins now. Now, if you will, join me in singing God Bless America. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountain to the prairie to the ocean, white with foam, God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet home. And now, let's begin with our opening words of prayer that we pray. I always like to say every time we come here, there's a few times that we haven't said it, but that's my faith declaration. We will make this prayer every time we come here. Those of you that are joining us on Facebook, you'll be able to see this prayer. Those of you that are joining us on Zoom, thank you for being here. Thank you to our partners. Let's pray this boldly together. Father, we pray this prayer and make this declaration as your children, the heirs of God, as the body of Christ filled with the fullness of God, as ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, as kings and priests to God by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. We, the community of faith, declare, thank you, Father, that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow with your presence and power in our lives. We receive your guidance through this time of ministry that believers' lives will be changed forever by the word of God, and glory and honor will be brought to your kingdom through our influence today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You know, as we pray that prayer, I like to visualize myself in each of those positions. As your children, view yourself as a child of God, an heir of God, and a joint heir with Jesus. View yourself as the body of Christ on this earth. Jesus is the head. He's in heaven. We are his body functioning on this earth. The two are inseparable. We have the fullness of God residing on the inside of us. As ministers of reconciliation, as an ambassador, someone that makes a decree in behalf of the kingdom they represent, as kings and priests to our God, as a community of faith. There's not very many ministries that get to do what you and I get to do, because you can't get people sometimes to come together in a point of agreement. And I thank you again today that you agree with us in prayer on a regular basis in Jesus' mighty name. Let's speak it. The commanded blessing of unity. Just proclaim it boldly right out loud with me. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for us brethren to dwell together in unity. It is the precious anointing oil running down on the edge of Aaron's garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there, in dwelling together in unity, the Lord commands the blessing on our life, life forevermore. As Jesus instructs us, we agree together for the victory. Speak it right out loud in your home. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you point your finger at yourself and say, yeah, that's you. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. And now, as we minister to the saints around the world, according to God's holy living word, God sees our determination to change our world. Hebrews 6:10. God will never be unjust and forget our work and labor of love, which we have shown toward his name, in that we have ministered to the saints here and around the world. My life is a seed I am sowing now to bless others. Say it again with me. My life is a seed I am sowing now to bless others. Think about this. You're coming here to be a part of this and receive wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and faith. But you being here is sowing your time, your talent, or your treasure. And tonight, and every time, there's a blessing connected. Luke 6:38. I give, and I know that what I give will be given to me, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, it will be put into my life. For with the same measure that I use to sow, it'll be measured back to me in that same measure. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, if this is new to you, what this is a prayer, declaration, proclamation, confession. There's a lot of words that are going around about what we're doing right now. But not only are we speaking boldly his word, which causes the angels to get involved, but every time we say the word, it produces life inside of our beings, our bodies. And it gives us instruction, discipleship, understanding, and revelation. All of this is happening at the same time right now. You can't get that anywhere else in the world. Say this with me. We fulfill the Great Commission today. Matthew 28:18-20. And Jesus speaks to us saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go ye, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And Jesus said, I am telling you, I am with you all the way to the end of the age. Sow this with me now tonight. I sow my time, my talent, and treasure into the kingdom today. Mark 10:28-30. Peter said to Jesus, see, we have left all and followed you. Jesus answered and said to him and says to you and me, assuredly, I say to you, everyone who leaves house or mother, wait, or brother, sister or father or mother, or wife or children or lands, for my sake and the gospel's, you shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands, income and salary, with persecution, and in the age to come, eternal life. Now, this is our declaration. You make it with me. I receive the 100-fold of all of my life and energy that is laid up in harvest form in heaven. I put it to work on earth to preach the gospel and save lives around the world. And now, go bless the nations of the world that are streaming with us from time to time. God bless the nations of the world to hear the word of faith. United States of America, Canada, Mexico, Brazil, South Africa, Niger, Nigeria, Ghana, Kenya, Tunisia, Oman, New Zealand, Australia, Malaysia, Singapore, Philippines, Japan, Vietnam, South Korea, Samoan Islands, Thailand, India, Pakistan, Iran, Iraq, United Kingdom, Ireland, Spain, France, Portugal, Germany, Switzerland, Hungary, Finland, Netherlands, Sweden, Estonia, Serbia, Czech Republic, Ukraine, Russia, China, New Guinea, 41 nations, and all the nations of the world. We bless you tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. May you see and know and understand who you are in Jesus Christ. of Nazareth. If you've never been a part of making a confession like this before, hey, Rebecca Smith, Terry Freeman, hey, brother, love you, man. Good to see you with us tonight. Mary Pastorek, God bless you, Rebecca and Mary Pastorek, two of the fortified foundations of this body of Christ. If you've never been a part of making a confession like this, I'm going to teach on it tonight. It's our teaching. And it's one of the very most important parts of the spirit of faith that causes us to function as a body together. So I encourage you, those of you that are listening, you might be new, you may have never been here before, or you happen on this a little later on and you're like, well, this is really new. I really want you to hear tonight's message so that you can see the importance of what we're doing right here, right now. Now, let's speak unity in the body of Christ, not only in the community of faith, but all across the United States of America, into every ministry where somebody's going tonight, in the body of Christ that's the patriotic American citizens out running for office. And there's a lot of primaries going on right now, so this is a very active political time in the United States of America. God bless them. And then for our brothers and sisters around the world, this is Paul's great teaching on the body of Christ in all of his writings. I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Point your finger at yourself and say, yeah, you. Point your finger at the camera and say, yeah, you. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. All believers are one and the same in God our Father. Say it with me. There is one body and one Spirit, just as we were called in one hope of our calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in us all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Make this declaration. Thank you, Father, for your grace on your gift in my life. And now, God's leadership team, the fivefold ministry, and the body of Christ, proclaim it boldly with me. Jesus himself is the one who gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. God bless the fivefold ministry with boldness, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that I may be filled with all the fullness of God. Raise your hands and receive this. Father, I declare everyone in the sound of my voice, whether right now while we're live or in the future, that you may be filled all the fullness of God. Be filled with all the fullness of God in Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' mighty name. And this is the result, so that we will no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Father, expose their wicked plotting to our understanding. But speaking the truth in love, we all grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working, by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. And now our declaration. I bring my gift and my supply to this body of believers today. Use me to be a blessing to others during this time. And now, our final prayer for this evening. Speak it with me. I declare revival in the executive branch of our government. Revival in the judicial branch of our government. Revival in the legislative branch of our government. Send revival to America so that we will be established in your righteousness. We join the voices of every great prayer warrior, patriot warrior, passionate patriot of this great nation, and we declare, God bless America. May God bless America again today. As a we the people, united we stand. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. And among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Speak it boldly, guys. Want to pause for a second. If you've never been a part of this, you can hear everything that the Holy Spirit has directed us to speak so far. Can you imagine if there was nobody speaking this consistently, where America would go? America would follow the voices of those who are speaking out loud boldly. And that's the voices of wickedness and darkness. You and I must boldly proclaim these words. This is adapted from the Gettysburg Address. Speak it out loud. Father, help us, the living, to be dedicated to the unfinished work which these fought for and so nobly advanced. Help us be dedicated to the great task that remains before us, that from these honored fallen, we take increased devotion to the cause for which they gave that last full measure of devotion. We highly resolve that these shall not have fallen in vain. We declare this nation under God is experiencing a new birth of freedom right here, right now, today. We declare this government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from this earth. Long will our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us, Lord, by thy great might. Great God, our King, forgive us of our sin, Lord, and heal our land. We seek your face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And now that we've spoken all of this faith, let's stand together now in agreement as we stand against the isms that have tried to destroy our land. In the name high above every name, high above every principality, high above every power, might, and dominion. In the name of Jesus, we stand in the blood and righteousness of Jesus, and we bind all of the effects of the isms, atheism, secular humanism, communism, socialism, feminism, male chauvinism, racism, and all impossible for your wickedness to overcome the United States of America's righteousness, which is our strength. Righteousness exalts this nation. God said, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. Whoops. Well, turn the page. To all the isms, you have no right or claim or historic authority to our promised land. We know who we are. We will not yield our weapons of protection to you, not our Bibles or our rifles. You may think we have been driven off, but we, the children of God, have returned to our God and have joined together in agreement to rebuild every wall that seems to be torn down in the realm of the spirit and in the natural. We declare that every weapon you have formed against freedom comes back on you now. Every pit you have dug for freedom, liberty, and the United States of America to fall into, you fall into yourself and are destroyed immediately. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 144:14. Our enemies will not invade our land, and there will be no breach in our walls. These are the walls we are rebuilding, the walls of righteousness. In Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen, and amen, and amen, and amen. So we say welcome to all of you who have joined us here tonight on the Community of Faith. Where did everybody go? There you are. Sister Rebecca, Sister Mary Pastorick, there on Facebook. Good to see you guys there. I'm going to go live on Blog Talk Radio, on YouTube now. All of you on Blog Talk Radio, welcome, welcome, welcome. We're glad to have you with us. It has been a constant reminder from the inside. The enemy is a fallen angel that is defeated and has no power. He has no power over you, and he has no power over me. His only power is deception, and we're not going to give that to him. And I thank you for all of you that are with us that I can see. Thank you for being faithful warriors of the cross. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you that you've stood together alongside of us, prayed when we prayed, brought your request, prayed for ours, stood alongside of us. We have become a mighty army. You might say, well, Pastor, there's only a few of us. You're right. But little is much when God is in it. That's an old hymn that the old timers used to sing. When you think about what God said to Gideon, isn't that something? All right, so I'm going to start with Gideon. Let me just give you an update here. Hold on a second. And all right, type of note. I heard Dr. Summerall say the other day, my screen is dark. Thank you, Sunday Geyser. Is it still dark or did I become light?
You're normal now.
I'm normal now. I want everybody to listen to Sister Sunday. She just prophesied quite a prophecy. I am normal now. I love it. Thank you. I appreciate you saying it. I appreciate every one of you that's been with us from the very beginning. Thank you. There is no way to describe the strength that those of you that I can see right now that you provide, those and the other ones of you that are here, even those we don't see. The very fact that you're there and your numbers are there, we know you're there. And get a second opinion. Thanks, Rebecca. I love you too. Now, I've heard Dr. Barclay ever since I met him talk about his partners, Brother Jesse, Brother Jerry, Brother Kenneth, Dr. Winston, all these great men of God, talk about their partners. Oral Roberts. I mean, Oral Roberts way back. And I never saw it like I did this weekend. To hear Brother Copeland tell all the things that KCM is doing, you realize, wow, all we've got to do is have a body of believers come together. And first of all, get over all your own hang-ups. Because the biggest person you're ever going to have to get over is you. The biggest one I got to get over is me. And then come together in agreement in a body of believers and then learn how to get over each other's hang-ups. Not everybody will be like you. Not everybody will be as cool as you or me. Even if they want second opinions about how cool I am. It's so good to see you, Rebecca. God bless you. Now, what have we learned to do? Oh, we've learned to get past each other's idiosyncrasies. Stand together, arm in arm, shoulder to shoulder. Face that and say, oh, no, you don't. And push that paper mache wall over and see people's lives be transformed and set free. That is the power of what you and I are doing. Now, just before we begin our teaching tonight, I want to say to our friends around the world again, I believe God has shown me a plan to be able to help you get this that we're saying translated into your own native language. And even if you look at it and say, Pastor, there's no way. I can't do technology. I want to encourage you to communicate to me if it's your heart's desire to take this into your native language. Now, I'm not talking to those that I'll use where we're at. I'm not saying to Felicia, the native language of Opelika, because they already understand English. Or the native language of
land. That's too complicated for me.
Say that again.
That's too complicated even for me.
I don't know what they call it, but it's Opelika and it's good. It's good language. All right. Every place has its own dialect, its own words, its own ways. But those of you from other nations, if you're on your side saying, if I could just get this to where my nation could hear this, God has given me a plan. I need you to contact me. Send me an email. The email is right there in the notes on Blog Talk Radio, YouTube Live, Facebook Live. Look at the notes, not the comments. In the notes of the program, you'll see the title, and underneath it will be some notes. And in there is my email address. Send me an email and say, help me get this in my native language, and I will help you see how we're going to do it. And then I'll have you as the first point of agreement. Well, I guess what I should say is, no, guess, I know. This body of believers right here, the community of faith, is your first line of agreement. So we've already got a good solid level of agreement going on. And now we want to take it to that next level and put it in your nation and be a blessing to you in Jesus' mighty name. So here we go. Thank you for your prayers for us this weekend. It was a powerful time. Thank you for those that sowed a seed. Appreciate that too. Helps us go do the work. And think about it. Everything we did while we were gone is credited to your account in heaven in Jesus' mighty name. And we blessed a lot of people inside that building who came to receive something from God. And what an amazing process to see that little boy who hadn't said a word for over a year begin to speak after we prayed for him and put our prayer in. And Brother Copeland then prayed. And then his mama was praying. And the first word he said was mama. Hadn't spoken a word. His dad cussed at him, told him to shut up. And he hadn't spoken a word in a year. And there at that conference, he spoke the word mama, his first word in over a year. And thank God for that mighty, awesome, wonderful miracle that we got to see right there in front of our own eyes. After we got done praying for him. And it's just an amazing thing to see God work. And that's what happens here. Those of you that are new to us, God has called this a healing room. And if you need prayer for a miracle in your life, for healing, make sure you share it in the comments somewhere. One of them will grab it, and we will get it out here where people can see it. And it'll be a blessing. We'll be able to pray for you. All of us will come together in agreement and pray for you. And things will happen. Here we go. Are you ready? Somebody shout, I love the word. Roger Oxy, I'm missing you, man. Hold on, I'm typing my I love the word. I like to say this because when the children of Israel heard the word of God being spoken and read, they began to shout when they heard the word spoken. I've had a miracle this week. Christine stopped smoking 1 week ago today. Hallelujah. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, we put our agreement with Christine. The power of that nicotine and the habitual action of it, we say that's broken, never to be returned to her life. And we say again, right now, that in her body, in her soul, and in her spirit, all trauma is broken, and there is victory and strength in her life, her spirit, her soul, and her body, in her own triunity, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We speak it done right now in Jesus' mighty name. Well, let's go to the book of All right. I the only thing I know to do is just obey. Go with me to the book of Gideon. You might say, wait a minute, I've never heard of the book of Gideon. Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. Wow, that's awesome. Judges chapter 6. I just have to take a note because God is speaking to me right while we're talking, and I can't miss this. Wow. Wow. Judges chapter 6. And we're going to read right here in the beginning. And this is Judges chapter 6. And we're going to go 1 through 27. Judges 6, 1 through 27. Judges 6, 1 through 27. All right. Just checking a few indicators here. Say it with me. In the name of Jesus, more than enough employees and helpers to do this work. In Jesus' mighty name. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, so the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. Why? Because they did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the hand of Midian prevailed against them. That was covenant that God made with them in the book of Deuteronomy. The Midianites, the children of Israel, made for themselves the dens, the caves, and the strongholds which are in the mountains. They began to protect themselves and hide. So it was whenever Israel had sown, the Midianites would come up. The Amalekites, the people of the east, would come up against them. They would encamp against them, destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza, and leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor donkey. That's a messed up situation. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents, coming in as numerous as locusts. Both they and their camels were without number. They would enter the land to destroy it. So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. The children of Israel cried out to the Lord. It came to pass when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel who said to them, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from the land of Egypt, brought you out of the house of bondage. I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, out of the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them out before you and gave you their land. I also said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed me." What was it that they didn't obey in? They feared the people of the nation, and they accepted their gods. Well, In God's book, that's severe. And he said, don't do that. And don't accept their ways. And don't chase after the ways of the world and those around you. So you can see it. God sent these people in to destroy the wicked, rebellious, not paying attention, doing right children of Israel. They made a choice to go the wrong way. Ready? Verse 11. And the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abizurite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress. And just in case you didn't know, you don't thresh wheat in a winepress. You press out wine. All right? In order to hide it from the Midianites. He actually had some that was able to grow to a full age, and so he was there, and he was hiding it. Give me just a second. I got to close that shade a little bit so I can see. But I love the beautiful fresh air. It just rained again. Thank you guys for all your prayers. The lakes are getting full again. The reservoirs are up, and the cattle are laying in grass up over their shoulders, smiling and mooing like happy cows. For those of you that are new, there was a drought here last year, severe one. 12, and the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon and said to him, "The Lord is with you, mighty man of valor." Gideon said to him, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all of this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of Midianites. I want you to realize Gideon is talking to the Lord Jesus, the captain of the host of heaven himself. Hey, look at there. Sister Leanne's with us on YouTube. Bless you, love. Love you. Thanks for being here and being a part, using your faith and your presence with us. And I love you, and these people love you too. And Jesus is Lord. Sister Leanne is my wife. Wait a minute. Everybody, make sure everybody knows this is my wife, all right? She's joined us on YouTube tonight. Now, watch this. Gideon literally says to Jesus himself, I want you to see it, in verse, where is this first one? The Lord is with you, mighty man. Gideon said unto him, I'll circle it. That him is capitalized. They don't capitalize him speaking of angels. They capitalize him when it's speaking of Jesus. Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened? All right. And then the Lord turned and said to him, go in this thy might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? Gideon's hiding. Gideon's hiding. Gideon's like the one mighty man that David had that said, you're not going to steal my beans any longer. He had a field of lentils, and he went out in there with his sword and defended his field against the Philistines and said, God will be with me. And in that one field killed 800 different Philistines trying to steal his beans. There has to come a point where you and I get so bold with our enemy that we say, oh, no, you don't. Not another day. Not in any way. You get off of me. You get off of my kids. You get off of what belongs to me. And I'm going to fight you for it like you've never seen fight before. The book of James says to us, James chapter 1, resist the devil. No, it says submit to God and resist the devil, and the devil will flee. So you and I got to be the ones doing this resistance, all right? And we're noticing this in Gideon right now. Verse 14, the Lord said to him, go in this might of yours, and you will save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. I have sent you. He said to him, oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. The Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. Remember how we teach one with the Father? God is taking this man who sees himself as the youngest and the weakest and the least. He just said it. I am least in Manasseh, the weakest in Manasseh, the least in my father's house, and the youngest. And God said, go in this might of yours. 17, he said to him, notice that him is capitalized. If now I have found favor in your sight, that your is capitalized, then show me a sign that it is you who talk with me. Do not depart from here, I pray, until I come to you and bring out my offering and set it before you. And he said, I will wait until you come back. So, Midian is like, wait, this is God, and God just showed up to me underneath this tree. I need to go get an offering, bring it back, and sacrifice it right here for Jesus the Lord. Why? Because Jesus showed up to give him deliverance, and he said, I'm going to present an offering. There's a principle in that. And look what Jesus said. I'll wait. Go get your stuff and come on back. Wow, that's awesome, Rebecca. $300 to $400 extra dollars every month. That's huge. That is huge. I thought the other day, I saw a guy buying a case of cigarettes somewhere, carton, and $75. And I'm like, there is no way I would roll up that many dollar bills and just burn them with a lighter. There's just no way I would do that. No way I would do that. Did you see my post on Facebook today? Have you noticed there's never been a shortage of cigarettes and alcohol? Amidst all, hey, that's Sister Phyllis. I thought that was Roger. Welcome, Phyllis. Good to have you with us.
It's good to see you here. Yeah, I did see your post today. I even remarked on it.
Yeah, that's cool. I haven't had a chance to go back and look at it yet. But I just thought, wait, that's a very simple yet very poignant post. Why is there never a shortage of that stuff? And all we got this quote unquote shortage of this other stuff. And no. This isn't politics, guys. This is you and I shaking a few people around us saying, wake up and look at the truth. Just stop and think about it. We got a shortage of oil? No, we don't. We have 23 rigs drilling right now, and those 23 wells, when they come in, will produce 1,000 barrels of oil a day. 1,000 barrels of oil a day. You know how much money that, you know how much oil that is? Not money. How much oil that is? We don't have an oil shortage. We have an intelligence shortage in a group of politicians. And the said thing, it's on both aisles and it's in the middle. That's not political. This is educational and revelational. You got to take a look and say, what are we doing? Okay, I'm done. I'm like Sister Phyllis. All right, I'm off of that now. Here I go. Let's get back to preaching. Good to see you, Phyllis. God bless you.
God bless you.
Big live. I'm back now in the Bible for those of you that just about clicked the off button when I started. Don't do that. Wait. If I was into politics, I would be gung-ho politics just like you see me here in the kingdom. I'm not afraid to speak about political matters, but I'm not a politician. I'm a man of God. And read the Bible, the prophets, the apostles, the pastors, the teachers, and the priests spoke to the leaders of the nations all through the Bible. And what they said from God, not their own personal deal, what they spoke from God as a commandment from God, that stuff happened. And that's why you and I make these bold confessions that we do. Okay. Somebody needs to quit pulling on me to keep talking about that. I'm done now. I'm back to Judges chapter 6. So Gideon said to God, I'm going to bring you an offering. And when he said that, God, this is Jesus. This is the Lord Jesus, the captain of the Lord of hosts. This is the one that showed up to Joshua the week before Jericho. Jesus, the captain of the Lord of hosts, is the one who receives your tithe and rebukes the devourer, according to Malachi chapter 3. The Lord of hosts is his name. What does that mean? He is the captain, the commander of the host of heaven. That's the angel army. Now, let's keep reading. So Gideon went in and prepared a young goat, unleavened bread, and an ephah of flour. The meat he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and he brought them out to him under the terebinth tree and presented them. Has anyone heard a message about how long that took him to do? I mean, Jesus is out underneath the tree waiting a long time here. The angel of God said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock. Pour out the broth, and he did so. The angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat, the unleavened bread, and fire rose out of the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. That'd freak out the basic church member's mind right there. And the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Gideon perceived that he, notice that he is capitalized, he was the angel of the Lord. Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. The Lord said to him, peace be with you. Do not fear. You shall not die. He came back. Jesus did. Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, the Lord is peace. This is where we get the term of God, Jehovah Shalom. The God, our peace, is in this story. To this day, it is still in Ophrah of the Abizarites. Came to pass the same night that the Lord said to him, take your father's young bull, the second bull of 7 years old, tear down the altars of Baal that your father has, and has cut the wooden image that is beside it. Build an altar to the Lord your God on top of this rock in the proper arrangement. Take the second bull, offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the image, which you shall cut down. Gideon took 10 men from among his servants and did as the Lord had said to him, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city too much to do it by day. He did it by night. Now, I want you to see something. Here's Gideon. And he's done with the Philistines and the Midianites coming up and destroying his crop. Obviously, he had a rather large household because he had 10 servants that would go with him to get this mission accomplished. And so here he is. He goes out and he gets it accomplished. What has he done? He tears down the idols. He tears down the altar in the high places where they were worshiping these false gods. Well, I don't know about some of you, but maybe some of you should go out and tear down the NFL stadium. I said it. I know. People. People don't worship the NFL. They just watch it every day on Sunday more than they would their own church. Jabbing. Why? Don't build an idol. There's nothing wrong with football or a sport, whatever you enjoy, hobby. Don't let it become an idol to you. Can you put it away and you'll be all right? I was so impressed with this weekend when Brother Jerry at one point was talking about these cars. And he said, would you like to see my museum? And he showed a picture of it. Beautiful, beautiful museum of old cars. But if you were just new, you might be like, well, who does he think he is showing us all these cars? Well, I've been following Brother Jerry since 1993. 5 times in his lifetime, several times since I've been following him, I've heard Brother Jerry say, that's it. I went to my barn and cleaned out everything in it. Totally gave it all away. Every hot rod, every car, every motorcycle, everything that he'd collected, he gave them all away and emptied his garage. And he said, I said to God, none of this will ever be more important than the work of the ministry you've given me to do. And then God fills it back up by people giving them to him. What's the point behind that, Pastor? We got to hear the voice of God, and you and I got to look inside ourselves and say, this thing will never become an idol to me in my life. Now, our message for tonight, you know, some of you will be looking saying, What has got to do? Nothing can be withheld when we are all saying the same thing. Gideon had to listen to what God told him to do, and then he had to go do it. Now, let's just keep chasing the story of Gideon a little bit. All right? So then they came and said, who tore down Baal? And his dad said, they said, we're going to kill him. Joash said to the verse 31, all of them, would you plead for Baal? Would you save him? Let the one who would plead for him be put to death by this morning. If he is a god, let him plead for himself, because his altar has been torn down. All right. 33, all the Midianites and the Amalekites, people of the east, gathered together. They crossed over and camped in the valley of the Jezreel. See, now Gideon's like, uh-oh, here they come again. And God just told me to do something. Watch what happened. 34, the Spirit of the Lord came on Gideon. He blew the trumpet, and the Abizarites gathered together with him. He sent messengers through all Manasseh. He gathered all of them. And he sent messengers to Asher, Zebulun, Naphtali, and they came up to meet him. Remember what he said? He said, how can I save him? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh. I am the least in my father's house. But because God showed up to Gideon, Gideon became very courageous. And when you and I see God showing up and beginning to perform miracles in our life, courage comes. As long as you and I will step out in courage, we'll never stop the growth and the development. As soon as we draw back, whether we have a misunderstanding, a confusion, whether we don't know what's going on, as soon as we draw back, the courage leaves us. And that's why you and I got to continually step out in faith and never allow anything to stop us from getting the work of God accomplished. Now the Holy Spirit came out and he blew the trumpet and all these men showed up. And then Gideon said to God, verse 36, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, I'm going to put a fleece out. So he put a fleece out and it was dry all around it and the fleece was wet. And he said, well, that's good, but I want one more. The next day, the ground was wet and the fleece was dry. And Gideon said, all right, then you're moving for me. And God said, you tested me, I'm going to test you. Chapter 7. Let's go. Verse 2, the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands. God just told Gideon, you have too many for me to win the battle. Little is much when God is in it. You and I standing right here together like we do every single night, standing in faith for everybody. You and I are a mighty force in this kingdom. And God just keeps sending it out. 10 nations, 12, 18, 22, 30, 42 nations of the world he sent us to. He did that. I didn't do that. We give him all the glory. I don't even know how he's doing it. I don't know. Why? Because we're a mighty force in this kingdom because we've decided to come together and let nothing separate us. I've said this many times here. If you don't understand what I'm doing or why we're doing it, then send me a private message. Send me an email. Say, Pastor, can you please explain this to me? I'll never judge anybody. I'll never condemn anybody. Your past makes no difference to me because the only thing that matters is the blood. The only thing that matters, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. The only thing that matters is that this book comes alive in you and you're walking in a relationship with God Almighty every day. Think about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul literally made the statement in the New Testament, I have wronged no man. Paul, who was murdering Christians in the name of God, said, I have wronged no one. Yeah. 2 Corinthians 7:2. We have wronged No one. This is Paul. Saul, this is Paul now, the apostle, who was Saul of Tarsus, who was killing Christians in the name of God. How could he do that? Because he's been redeemed. His sins have been washed away. And God's blessing. Hey, Kathy Angaroni's with us. And Brother Chris Dennis. Hey, how you doing, Chris? Love you, baby. As I go to my first youth camp tomorrow with two kids and pray that God moves. Everybody just join with us right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now we speak over Brother Chris, these two kids he's taken to youth camp. In the mighty name of Jesus, may their lives be transformed forever by the power of the Holy Spirit. May Chris and his two kids he's taken, young people, may they rock this place and bring the power of the Holy Spirit with them there in everything that they do. May there be a transformation of the kingdom of God by this youth camp. We speak over every young person that shows up. They're born again. They're filled with your spirit. They're walking with you every day of their life to be changed forever and to go back to their community and change their local community in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. There's Mary. Bad storm just went through my area. Well, Mary, just go out on the porch, point your finger at it and say, peace, be still. Don't send it over to the next county because the Christians there don't want it any more than you. Just be like Jesus. Peace, be still. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray right now. Let's keep reading. Gideon 7:3. Therefore, proclaim in the hearing of the people, whoever is afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gideon. Look at this. 22,000 of the people returned and 10,000 remained. 22,000 left. A third, two-thirds of the people left. You got to know that Gideon was like, hey, don't leave. Watch what happens. He said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Bring them down to the water and I will test them for you there. What's this? God is giving Gideon an understanding of who to have with him. Say this with me. God rewards me when I diligently seek him. God is rewarding you when you diligently seek him. But expect him to say, not that, this. Why? Because he's always going to be taking you up to a new level in him. Verse 7, the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men who lapped the water, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. Let all the other people go, every man to his place. All right? Let's keep reading. So they took their provisions. Let's read 8. People took provisions, their trumpets in their hand. They all had a trumpet. God's going to use the trumpeters in this battle. Did you ever notice that? Sent away all the rest. Camp of Midian was below them in the valley. 9. It happened on the same night the Lord said to him, arise, go down against the camp, for I've delivered it into your hand. If you're afraid to go down, take Purah, your servant, with you. And I'm going to show you something. They went down to the camp. And let's see. 12. The Midianites and the Amalekites, all the people of the east were lying in the valley as numerous as locusts. Their camels were without number, as the sand by the seashore in multitude. And when Gideon had came, there was a man telling a dream to his companion. He said, I have had a dream. To my surprise, the loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian, came to a tent and struck it so that it fell and overturned, and the tent collapsed. Then his companion answered and said, there is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, into his hand. God has delivered Midian and the whole camp. Wait a minute. Gideon hasn't swung a sword yet. And God just struck the whole camp with fear. Aren't you glad you're on the right side of this? Somebody just shouted, I'm on the right side.
I'm on the right side. I'm on the right side.
You are. One more, Mary Pastorek. I'm waiting with bated breath. I'm on the right side. All right. 14. His companions answered and said, there's nothing else but the sword of God. 15. So it was Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation that he worshiped the Lord. He returned to the camp for Israel and said, arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp of Midian into your hand. Now, these next verses are of absolute importance. We're going to see it here. We're going to see it in Babel, Tower of Babel. We're going to see it in Nehemiah, and we're going to see it in Joshua. Probably not all tonight. We're going to see the same principle in all these battles. Now, watch how it works. Verse 16. And we're going to run down through 25. He divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet into every man's hand, an empty pitcher, and torches inside the pitcher. He said to them, look at me and do likewise. Watch, and when I come to the edge of the camp, you will do the same as I do. Blow the trumpet, I and all who are with me. Then you will also blow the trumpets on every side of the whole camp and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Isn't it interesting that they didn't just say, the sword of the Lord. The Holy Spirit, by Jesus, the angel of the Lord, told him to say the sword of the Lord and Gideon. Remember what Jesus taught us? If you receive a prophet in the name of the prophet, you receive the prophet's reward. If you receive a righteous man, you receive the righteous man's reward. If you receive a disciple, in the name of the disciple, you shall receive the disciple's reward. 19. Amen, Kathy. Gideon and 100 men who were with him came to the outpost of the camp, the beginning of the middle watch, and they blew the trumpets, broke the pitchers that were in their hands. The three companies blew their trumpets, broke the pitchers they held, the torches in their left hands, and the trumpets in their right hand for blowing. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and Gideon. You and I, every night, make a declaration that God gave me by the Holy Spirit. It's the opening prayer. It's each of those verses about agreement. It's the verses about go ye into all the world. It's the verses about I sow myself as a seed into the gospel ministry. All of those men were to say the same thing. The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Now watch. What if they had said, we're going to come and kill you? They weren't as one voice. And one voice is what God loves to hear. Think about what you and I are doing. Everybody watch this. This is as much revelation as anything. Can you imagine all around the world, everybody who actually is a part of Facebook Live with us that takes these verses and proclaims them aloud and God hears his word being spoken out of the mouth of his children, and the same word all the way around the world. And those words are being raised to him all at the same time. Think about this. Those of you that are part of us, you know the name Dutch Sheets. Those of you who aren't a part of us, if you don't know the name Dutch Sheets, I encourage you, go on YouTube and become acquainted with the name Dutch Sheets, because he's a powerful man of God, powerful prayer warrior, and Brother Dutch Sheets has a prayer program. God established Brother Dutch as a prayer ministry, a prayer mighty warrior team. Come on, YouTube, just work. Goodness sakes alive. Usually I can just get it and it doesn't even slow me down, but that's all right. I want you to see this. I want you to see this. Oh, this is amazing. Thank you, Father in heaven, Lord Jesus. Glory be to God. Woo! Somebody shout or something. Now, hold your place there in Gideon chapter 7. I mean Judges chapter 7. Goodness sakes alive. And go with me to Genesis chapter 11. Genesis 11. And we're going to read 1 through 9 about the Tower of Babel. Now watch this. We read it this morning for the noon prayer. We're going to read it again tonight. Watch this. Today's program with Brother Dutch Sheet has had, so far, 44,000 people that have viewed that video and joined together with Brother Dutch in agreement with what he's saying. Now watch. So this is Monday. Last Friday, 65,000 people. Last Thursday, 63,000 people. Last Wednesday, 60,000 people. What is your point, Pastor? My point is, when you and I will stand together in agreement and say the same thing, God will move in a way that is out of this world. You ready for this? Brother Dutch's YouTube page, this isn't Facebook, it's just YouTube, has 287,000 subscribers. I want you to get this thought. 287,000 people who believe in prayer have subscribed to Brother Dutch's prayer channel. You're not going to come to Dutch for anything else except prayer, because that's what the man's known for, is prayer. And so you and I can see that there's 60,000 that are a part of the program every day. And as you study analytics of programs, that just lets you know there's 60,000 people that come to this man's program in agreement with him. And over the period of time since he's been on here, there's 287,000 who are in agreement. I don't know where our numbers are tonight. I'm not about the numbers except for this point. God told Gideon 32,000 is too many. And he sent 22 of them home and left him 10. And Gideon's like, well, I would have liked that 32,000 myself, but we'll be all right with 10. And God said, that's too many. If you don't realize that men and women of God have a discussion together with God sometimes.
Is this where he only let him keep 300?
Yeah.
Familiar.
Yeah. 300. That's not even 10%. That's not even a tithe.
It's 1% of 3,000.
That's right. It's 1%. And God said, no, that's too many. Now watch. But he gave them a statement to say. the sword of the Lord and Gideon. That's not even a long statement. But what is in that utterance? That utterance came from the throne of heaven by inspiration of the Holy Spirit into Gideon's heart, mind, understanding. Gideon put it in the mouth of his warriors, and when they all said the sword of the Lord and Gideon, they defeated him. I'm going to show it to you. Genesis 11, and then we'll go back over there. Genesis 11, 1-9. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. Came to pass as they journeyed from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. This is after the flood. They said, come, these are the people on earth. Let us build ourselves a city, a tower whose top is in the heavens. Look at what it says. Let us make a name for ourselves. These aren't righteous, holy people saying, God, what would you have us do? And God said, build a tower and climb all the way up it till you reach into the heavens and are able to see me. That wasn't a God plan. This is a fleshly earth plan. These men said this because they remember the flood. They've heard the story from Noah, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, their great-grandfathers. And they're like, well, let's build a tower so high God can't cover it with water. They set out to do it. Now what? Lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. God himself, the Lord Jesus, came down to see what was going on. Watch this. The Lord said, indeed the people are one, and they have one language. And this that they begin to do, now nothing they propose to do will be withheld from them. They had learned to come together in agreement. And God said, this group of people, there won't be anything withheld from them. Now, these are not the righteous. These are people saying, let us make a name for ourselves. And they were so united, God said, I'm coming out of heaven. Jesus came down here to this earth and said, nothing will be withheld from them. Can you imagine what a bunch of New Testament believers, the body of Christ, the ambassadors, the kings and priests of God, the sons and daughters of the Most High God, heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus? Can you imagine if we'll just put the same words in our mouth he gives us to speak? Can you imagine what we'll be able to get accomplished? Because it'll be from heaven with his blessing on it, and nothing will be able to stop it. 7. This is still God speaking. Come. Let us go down there and confuse their language, that they may not be understood. They may not understand one another's speech. The Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Can you imagine the guy that's speaking Chinese right next to the guy that's speaking French? They're looking at each other, and they're both saying, what kind of language are you using? And so they had to begin to yell, ¿Cómo está, señor? And all the Spanish people came to that guy. And they all understood each other. And then the French people, oui, oui, bonjour. And all the French people went over there. I don't know any other language. Oh, Japanese. Hi, hi, which was hello. That's all I know. No, see, God, I want you to get this. God said nothing will be withheld from them. Nothing. Why? Because they've come together in agreement. Father, in the name of Jesus, help Lance and Joy to be delivered from every form of religion, And Joy, be healed. And up out of that wheelchair in the mighty name of Jesus. There was a lady in a wheelchair there. Her husband walked up and said, I want to give you this card and so you can remember us. Look what it says. The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Luke 18:27 says, who are you walking with? So I put their name on them, told them that you and I would pray for them. She's in a wheelchair. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but I declare she's healed in Jesus' name. Here we go. I am now in Judges 6:21. Every man stood in his place around the camp. The whole army ran and cried out and fled. When the 300 blew the trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against his companion throughout the whole camp, and the army fled to Beth Lachish towards Zerara, as far as the border of Abel Mahola by Tebeth. The men of Israel gathered together from Naphtali, Asher, Manasseh, pursued the Midianites. Gideon sent messengers through the mountains to Ephraim, saying, come down against the Midianites. We've got them running. They captured two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeb. They killed Oreb at the rock of Oreb, and Zeb they killed at the winepress of Zeb. And then they pursued them. And they chased him. And they pursued him. I'm all the way over into 6. Chapter 8, verse 6. They pursued him. And they chased him. And verse 8, they're pursuing and chasing. Verse 10, now Ziba and Zalmunna were at Karkor, and their enemies with them, about 15,000, all who were left of the army of the people of the east, for 120,000 men who drew the sword had fallen. A 300-man army in obedience to God's plan speaking the word of God as he said to speak it routed 120,000-man army. Now, guys, I'm not exaggerating anything. My brothers and my sisters. How big of a battle does God want to win in our lives? How big of a battle will we let him win? Will we expect him to win in our lives? Well, Pastor, I don't even know how to say anything big. Go to God and say to him, give me something big for you. Do you think that he has any void of something for someone to speak? I'm saying that wrong. I guarantee you, by the word of God, that if you ask God for a faith assignment of something big to speak, he'll tell you what to speak. Pastor, why would I do that? Because nothing happens on this earth until you and I, the men and women of God, open our mouth and speak the word of God. God limited himself. God said, the earth I have given to the children of men. That means this earth is in our dominion. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 31. If you and I are not in dominion of this earth, what? It's not God's problem. He's put all of that dominion right here. Therefore, he's going to give you a word to speak. And when he does, it's your responsibility and stewardship to speak it. Now, there's many things that God has given me to speak I've never spoken out loud. There's some things God has given me to speak. I've not even spoken them to Sister Leanne yet. That's not very many, but. Why? Because when God gives you an assignment, you're faithful to that assignment. And if he says, you take this to yourself and don't say a word to anybody, there's a reason that he would say that to you. Now, Pastor, do you really think that God would give me an assignment like that? Beyond a shadow of a doubt. God's got all kinds of assignments in heaven that nobody's doing. And he needs somebody on the earth to begin to speak it and pray it and declare it so that it has the ability to come to pass. I can tell I've got with me tonight a Missourite. So let's go to famous Amos. Ezekiel, Daniel, Joel, Amos. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for revelation. Amos 3, 1 through 8. And I'm going to read verses 3, 6, and 7. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? Unless they are in agreement. Or you can say two can't walk together unless they're in agreement. There's people who come to this family and say, wow. Man, God, you're setting me free. Bam, they set free, transformed, delivered. Miracle after miracle after miracle. But the first person you got to get in agreement with is yourself. Your spirit, soul, and body have got to learn how to be in agreement with themselves. Some of you don't even have that in agreement. That's why you might find it hard sometimes to be in agreement with me. Some of you are not even in agreement with God because you resist him, you rebel against him, you fight him, you're in opposition to him. You got to stop that stuff. Yeah, but Pastor, I don't know if I can trust God. Wait. As soon as you started to say that, you hesitated. Why? Because you know you can't say that about God. Now, listen, nobody freak out. Nobody be freaked out about what I'm saying. Why? Every one of us have had to deal with this at one point in our life or another. Every one of us have. Why? Because he gave us an assignment that was bigger than us, and we're like, woo! How am I going to get that done? If you've never had one of those assignments, begin to seek God, saying, God, help me do something for you that really changes this world. And then continually listen to his voice. Brother Copeland told the story again about their television ministry being $2 million behind in their television bill. Now, I can tell you stories of mine. I like telling about $2 million behind bill. I've never had a bill $2 million behind. Have you? Some of you are like, if my light bill just gets 2 months in one, I'm falling over on my floor, all right? He was $2 million behind. Praying every day, going and preaching every day, seeing people healed, delivered, set free, transformed every day. And yet the television bill is $2 million behind. And he said, one day I finally said to Gloria, I'm going to the cabin. I'm not coming back till I get an answer. They have a prayer cabin. Somebody donated to the ministry. Off they went. No, off he went. And he said, I was expecting me 7, 8, 10 days, you know, whatever. And he started to pray, and God said, well, glad you're here. Your problem, Kenneth, is you're obedient, but you're not very willing. And that verse, he had said to him, God, you said, if I'm willing and obedient, I get to eat of the good of the land. And God said, you're obedient, but you're not willing at all. And he's like, on what? He said, I told you to go on daily television with your half an hour show, but you're obedient, but you're not even willing. You're not happy. You hate it. You dread it. And listen, Brother Copeland said, I just paused real quick and said, well, I think I'll just go ahead and become willing and obedient right now and change my attitude. And then God began to show him what he had let go of the things that God had told him to do. See, guys, God's not mean. He has a plan. It's written in a book with your name on it in heaven. That's not some big statement of Sister Phyllis K. Raymond, you are to be a missionary on the streets of New Orleans. I mean, that's all right. What God's more interested in is the daily part of life that he's talking to you about that you're saying no. You might say, yeah, but Pastor, I don't even know how to hear God like you do. Well, here's how you hear God like me. Open up your Bible every day and read. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and the book of Acts. What are those? That's Jesus' life and ministry and miracles and all of his statements about the Father. And then the book of Acts is the beginning of the church and the Holy Spirit. As you read those over and over again, you begin to understand the voice of God as you read them over and over again. Now watch this. Nobody's got to lay hands on you for that. You just got to open up this book, find Matthew chapter 1, and start reading. The more you read this book, the Word of God, the more your ear is tuned to the voice of God, and you're able to understand his voice as he speaks to you. There ain't nobody on the face of the earth that's gotten close to God, whether rich or poor, young or old, intelligent or just a knucklehead. There's not a single person that ever got close to God and has a great testimony that didn't do it by first opening up God's word and actually reading what's on the pages of God's word. Now, back to Amos. 6, if a trumpet is blowing in a city, will not the people be afraid? Calamity in the city, will not the Lord have done it? All right, these guys have gone against God again. 7, surely the Lord does nothing you could put there on this earth unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. God is always going to speak through his leadership team. The leaders are going to bring it to the body. The body's going to say, let's get it done. Let's go do it. Moses sent out 12 preachers. They came back and 10 of them gave a bad report to the congregation. Millions of those people died in the wilderness. God said, everybody 20 years old and above, you're going to die. Unless you're a part of the tribe of Caleb and Joshua. Why? They listened to their congregational elder tell them to go the wrong way. Now watch. Gideon listened to God. God came to Gideon and said, say this and tell your 300 men to say these words. The sword of the Lord and Gideon. And confusion went in that camp, and 120,000 men were destroyed who had come out against them. 120,000. I don't see very many of you saying amen, shouting, or doing backflips, but you really ought to be shouting and doing some backflips right now. Say again?
I couldn't as a child. I couldn't do backflips as a child. So you just have to accept me as I am.
Well, you can shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Well, don't stop. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
No, see, we got to get this picture in our life, guys, because the enemy wants us to believe that our quote unquote, thank you, Leanne. Leanne's jumping over on YouTube. The enemy wants you to think that our little numbers are of no value, but that's not true. It's just not true. There's something about this body of believers that's drawn 42 nations. I haven't looked this week. That number may have gone up. And wait, I want you to remember this. That's only the nations that have actually hit my map. They don't even get there until their numbers in their nation reach 1% of the listening audience. So there's a whole bunch more nations that are listening. And what are we doing for it? We're showing up here. We're speaking the word. I'm praying for you. You're praying for me. We don't know how to pray for them except to speak the words that God has given us to speak over them. And those words are as powerful for them as a word that they would send us and say these words. Why? Because the Holy Spirit gave me a fivefold ministry, apostle, pastor, teacher, gave me a word to write down and put up here for you and I to all say together. We say it, and guess what happens? We transform people's lives. Only in the review tapes of heaven will we be able to see everything that happened with our prayers. I believe there's going to be a portion of history in heaven where you and I are going to be able to sit down and with like this huge, massive screen, be able to view everything that holy that happened in our life, because all of the unholy parts gone. He wiped it all away. And he's going to show you and I all of the things that he spoke to us privately that we said did, and we're going to see the effect it had on people. And here you and I are right now on this end. And we see that God wants to do mighty things on this earth, but he's going to speak them to people on this earth first, because it is out of his order and his plan for him to come down here and do them by himself. He chose to make himself dependent on you and me. Jesus said, I'm going to my Father in heaven. All power is given unto me. Go ye. God can't do what he's doing on this earth unless you and I are helping him. Brother Roger's not here to stay 4 more hours. Does anybody else want to say it?
4 more hours. 4 more hours.
Oh, I sure do love you guys. I love this body of believers.
We missed you this weekend. We had to listen to all that other sermonizing and preaching and everything and didn't have very many laughs. So, yeah, you got to make up for it now.
All right. Sir, yes, ma'am. Watch this. 2 Chronicles 20. And I think it's 20, but let me see. No. Yeah, 2 Chronicles 20:20. And let's go down to 25. 20 through 25. Thank you, Sunday, for putting the verses in. I really appreciate that. Mary Pastorek, we love you. Sister Rebecca, thank you. Kathy Angaroni, it's good to see you. Be a part of this. I don't see anybody else. Terry Freeman, God bless you, brother. Terry, I love you, man. Verse 20. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. It's right here just south of us, about 50 miles, the wilderness of Tekoa. And Joshua stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you'll be established. Believe the word of his prophet." Believe his prophets. What's a prophet going to do but prophesy? "And you'll prosper. When you believe God, you're established. When you believe the word of the prophet, you prosper." And God just said, "I'm not doing anything on this earth until I first speak it through my prophets." Is it no wonder that some denominations never get anything accomplished for God? They believe the fivefold ministry passed away. Oh, wait. No, wait. We don't believe that, because we believe in the pastor and the teacher. We just, not the apostle and the prophet. Well, no, wait. We do believe in the evangelist. And God might have one or two. See how that goes? No, we got to just pick this Bible up and believe. Read the words on the page and choose to believe it. 21. When he consulted with the people, he pointed those who would sing to the Lord, who should praise the beauty of his holiness. Guys, they were singing the same song. They were singing the same song, just like the sword of the Lord and Gideon. Just like God said, they said, "We're going to build a tower to the sky." And all of those wicked people continually making that statement all around that Tower of Babel, they were all saying the same word. And God said, if they keep this up, nothing's going to be withheld from them. Nothing. Bless you, Felicia. We love you. And may your sleep be blessed also. Here's the word. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. I was never in a meeting with Brother Hagin, but I've seen a lot of videos of his, where he started that time of preaching with, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." Sometimes 5 minutes of it. Why? He got it right out of the book. Look at 22. When they began to sing and praise the Lord, the Lord sent ambushments against the people of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, who came against Judah, and they were defeated. People of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. When they made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. These enemies that come out against them stood up and destroyed each other. May you wicked Democrats and Republicans and independents stand up and destroy each other. Until you run from politics and go weave baskets on the beach or something. Why? Stop destroying the United States of America. We, the people of God, stand against you, and we say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. 24, when Judah came to the place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there was the dead bodies falling on the earth. No one had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, they found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies, precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. Now, I got a revelation for you. I didn't write those verses in the Bible. God wrote those verses in the Bible. By the words of their mouth, they defeated this whole enemy. And I've got to be done because we're out of time tonight. And I've got to make up this morning's read the word. I didn't get it done. I just too wore out. It was a full weekend and I was done. I couldn't stay awake any longer. But this, we're going to study this for several nights here. The fact that they came together and spoke the same word that came from heaven by God's leader and they spoke that word. Whether you might even look and say, this doesn't even make sense to do this. When it's an assignment from God, you absolutely transform the eternal realm and the eternities. The sun is going down behind the clouds. How many of you love the sun? I love the sun. Thank God for the sun.
Sunshine. Amen. May God's richest blessings now rest upon you, Samuel J. Cottle, and give you the strength and enjoyment to finish your work tonight, because I really do want you to do the read the word for us, and God wants you to. And so we're in agreement that you should have enough energy and joy to get it done.
Now, Sister Phyllis and Sister Sunday, watch this. God knew that you would pray that prayer. So when we left Bismarck, Leanne said, I'm driving. I said, who do you think you are telling me what to do? So I'm like, sorry, I got to get caught up on some stuff. So she started driving. Then you know what she said next? She said, lay down and take a nap.
Were you naughty?
And I said, who do you think you are talking to me like that? She said, I'm your wife. Lay down and take a nap. So guess what? I took a nap. Thank you, Lord.
Good for you.
Just in case the doctrine that men don't listen to their wives is out there, I do listen to mine.
Behind every successful man is a strong-willed woman who tells him to do what's right.
Amen. I thought you were saying a shocked mother-in-law shaking her head in the background.
Okay, I've been a mother-in-law, and so I just don't do mother-in-law jokes.
I've never been a mother-in-law, so I make a lot of them. No. All right, now, no, this is the power of this. Now, tomorrow night, we're going to study Joshua. Interesting story about Joshua. You might read it. God told Joshua to tell the children of Israel, don't say anything for 7 days. The power that tore down the walls of Jericho was not words first. It was first silence. And then shout, for God has given us the city. We'll study that tomorrow night. Words are the most absolute importance in everything you do. I'm going to show you one more verse. I got to show you this. Wait, I always get three, right, Phyllis? I get three of those one more verses.
Of course.
Not tonight. I'm only taking one. I still got too much to do. It's all right, though. I'm not complaining. I don't want anybody to ever think I'm complaining about saying I got to do the Read the Word. I love doing Read the Word. It's a wonderful program. And may God help us take that. I'm still speaking that we have 1,000 subscribers to that Read the Word program. That's what I'm speaking. And by the end of the year, I'm speaking that there'll be 100,000 people listening to it. Pastor, why would you say that number? Because God gave me that number in prayer one day. Well, guess what that means? That means he wants to do it.
Amen.
How are you going to get there? I want you to know something. I am not getting anything anywhere. I'm going to speak what he says to speak, and he's going to do the work. And You and I are going to read the Bible, and we're going to watch God do a mighty, marvelous work, and we're going to stand back and say, go, God, go, God, go, God, go, and use me in the process. Look at this.
I pray, after you finish reading the Bible in chronological order, you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts. Amen. Amen.
Amen. I think I already have it done, Mary. You want me to put it out somewhere where you can hear it?
Yes, I'd love that.
I'll see if I can find it.
Thank you.
Not a problem.
Would it be where you'll send me the link to it? Is it on
YouTube? No, I mean, it's on my computer somewhere.
Oh, I see.
I just got to find it.
I really would like that. I really, really would.
All right. Okay. I'll find it, and then I'll put it up somewhere where we can make it available for everybody.
I like listening to you read and following it in the Bible.
Well, all right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
My last verse. Phyllis is sitting back in the background going, this is number one. I still got two more fingers that's ready to go up. Bless you, Phyllis. Here we go. Mark 11, 20 through 24. It's one verse. My last verse has four, so this is my last one. In the morning they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, that tree which you cursed has died. How did he curse it? Except by saying words. If you go back here on verse number 17. No, not 17. Where did that go? Oh, 14. In response, Jesus said to it, let no one eat fruit of you from ever again. And his disciples heard him say. What did he do? He spoke words. All right. Now, 22. Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Now watch this. For assuredly, I say. He's teaching them to speak words by the fact that he said, I am saying this to you. My words are working in you right now. I say to you, whoever says words to this mountain, be removed and cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. 24. Therefore, I says to you. So not only is he teaching us the principle of saying, he's giving us the example of saying right while he's saying. And what did he get? He got 11 disciples that learned exactly what he was teaching in this principle, and after Pentecost went out and transformed the whole known world. All of them died martyrs and were mighty men of faith and says into the mountain to be removed. Our words we are speaking are so important. All of these verses that I give us at the beginning and the prayer for America, all of that's right from the heart of God, from the Holy Spirit. I don't sit down here and think, well, I wonder what would make everybody go, ooh, ah, eh, nah. I get it up a long time ago. I'll show you how I do it. I sit down here like this. With an empty page and say, you got something for me to say or do today? and then I go do it. And when he gives me an assignment, I don't stop until the assignment's done or he says, don't do that anymore. Why? He needs these words spoken in this earth right now. And he gave us these words to say. The more of us who join together and say them, the more work they get accomplished. It was so plain. I think it was Thursday night when the power went off during the conference. Brother Copeland's preaching along, and all the stage lights and the TV lights just go off. You don't realize how many lights are on to make that TV work so that there's not shadows and you can actually see him and everything. You don't realize how many lights are on until they all go off. And darkness fell upon the platform. And it was cool. Brother Copeland, not only does he teach you to speak words, immediately when those lights come on, went off, he said right out loud, light be. Right out loud. What? They went off. He wants them to come back on. What are you going to say to get them back on? Lights, come on. Well, being on the usher team, I already know everybody who's working in the security points and everything. Man, that team went into movement like right now. Hey, Nicole Olson, hello from Minnesota. I want to introduce you guys to one of our dear friends we met this weekend at the conference, Nicole Olson. Everybody say hi to Nicole. Go ahead. You on Zoom, say hi.
Hi, Nicole.
Good to have you with us, ma'am. I hope you're enjoying this with us tonight. As Brother Jesse would say, click like, hit the subscribe button, and ding the bell. That way you know every time we're on. And we're glad to have you with us tonight. Now, so anyways, I'm watching this light thing off. And, of course, now you're like, well, wait, Brother Colton just started. How in the world is this going to work? And, of course, I've been a pastor and in charge and had things go off. You guys have seen it happen right here. You're scurrying like, oh, come on, man, click, click. And you know the whole team's going, what just happened? But watch this. Here comes the hotel guy. He runs over and flips light switches on. Well, there's a big chandelier there above his head, so that came on. And that lit the room up. And then a bunch more scurrying. And he just kept right on and preaching. And it's so cool. Out of the back behind the curtain, here comes one of the guys. He's got a flashlight about this big. He just walks up there next to the podium and turns that flashlight on so that Brother Copeland can read. And what did they do? That partnership team worked close together, and it didn't stop the meeting at all. What happened, Pastor? The generator that they have to use for the power ran out of fuel. Somebody didn't do their job and work on the checklist and make sure the fuel tank was full. Partners stood together. And the more partners we have stand together, the more we can get accomplished for God. And the more God gets the glory in your life and mine and in the place that he sends us to tonight. Tonight's message is, nothing can be withheld when we are all saying the same thing. It'll be available to rewatch again, study it again on YouTube as soon as we're finished. And then tomorrow night, come on back. We're going to hit the same subject again, and we're going to study it from Gideon, from the Tower of Babel, from Joshua, and every person that God gave a word to speak, and that word came to pass. We're going to talk about that throughout this week right here on our program that's called Establishing Your Faith, where you and I are led by the author and finisher of our faith, teaching to us the greatest book of faith, establishing your life and mine in the life of faith in Jesus' mighty name. Let's pray. Father, wait, let me say this. For those of you that may be new, we're now going to go into communion service, and we welcome you to receive communion with us. Have your communion elements ready. That's grape juice and bread, or bread and water. Jesus turned the water into wine. And we welcome you to come and be a part of our communion with us. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless you. Lord, tonight, right now tonight, Gideon's words destroyed 120,000 people. Jehoshaphat's words destroyed an enemy of 85,000 people. We're not looking to destroy any people. We want our words to drive the enemy back in our lives and in this great nation. And we thank you that you've given us words to speak. Everybody say this with me. Let's make this confession. I open up my heart. You say it. Sunday or Phyllis, one of you guys, come on and say it with me if you would. They both got up and went to get a cup of coffee. They probably went to get their communion elements like I'm going to have to do here tonight. Say it with me. I know tonight you have anointed my ears to hear this word and receive this revelation. I am your servant, Lord. But you're also my big brother. And I am an heir of God. I say to you, Heavenly Father, use my lips to speak your word on this earth so your kingdom comes. Your will is done. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen and amen. Well, Rebecca, you asked the question, how long did it take for the lights to come back on? As long as it took somebody to find a jug and go get some fuel and come back and put it in and then turn the generator back on and slowly power up the lights, well, that was about a half an hour. And I guarantee you, there was plenty of jugs of fuel sitting alongside of that device the rest of the weekend. So that process never happened again. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, Sister Phyllis, did you get me some communion juice while you were gone?
Sorry.
I ask if you got some.
I'm not far, you're too far away. My arm isn't that long.
All right. Somebody sing or something. I'll be right back and get my grape juice.
Oh, how I love you, Jesus. Oh, how I love you, Jesus. Oh, how I love you, Jesus, because you first loved me.
All right. And now the choir begins, all the sopranos and the altos. Oh, how I love you, Jesus.
Oh, how I love you, Jesus.
Yes, oh, how I love you, Jesus, because you first loved me. Here we go. They've got the verses put in there. Thank you, Sister Sunday, for the verses. For those of you that are joining with us, if you could, 1 Corinthians, type them right into the comments there for us. It always helps if some of you are typing verses in. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26, verse 28, and verse 31. You're like, right, Pastor, how in the world am I going to remember all that? It's all right. Thank you for those of you that help us get that accomplished every time. Watch this. There it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. This is where we study the book of Corinthians and receive the instruction from Jesus about communion. Here we go. Verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. When he blessed it, he broke it, and he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. We'll receive communion at the end. In the same manner, after supper, he also took a cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant of my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, his redemptive work, until he comes. Verse 28. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Pastor, how am I going to have boldness in the day of judgment? Well, because it says, as he is, so are we in this world. As Jesus the head is, so are we his body on this earth. It's inseparable. Verse 18, perfect love casts out fear and the torment that goes with it, because there is no fear in love. Now, Sister Sunday put the verse 1 John 4, 7 in. And I've not read that one, but that's all right. Wait, that's all right. Watch this.
Let me sing it to you. Beloved, let us love one another. Beloved of God, let us love one another. He who loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4, 7 and 8. I learned that when I was 8 years old, honey. It served me really good for a long, many years.
Amen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, even if it was the typo, you were typoing by the Holy Ghost.
I love it.
Now, the problem we face is the more verses we add, the longer the communion service gets.
I love that too.
I know. It won't be long. We'll say it's communion time. You're like, we just started, Pastor. I know, but it takes an hour and a half just to take communion.
I'm trying to be careful.
It's okay. I think that's absolutely appropriate, because love is from God.
Amen.
We're not loving each other with brotherly love, Philadelphia, phileo. We're not loving each other with eros, which is erotic love. We're loving each other with the love of God. And I'm telling you right now, you and I are learning that love for one another and for God in a way that we've just never seen before. Now, those of you that's new, don't worry. This is how it functions here all the time. This is a very open Bible study process. And you're very welcome to come and listen and learn and be a part of this, because our place is to get faith in your life. And this is what we've learned. At this point, I'm not a Bible college education on faith where you're sitting in a classroom and I have a teacher up front and he's teaching you. At this point in our ministry, our ministry time is very much making sure you understand. Just like Sister Mary said, I would like it if you would read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the book of Acts. I think I've already got it done. And I just got to get it up there where you can hear it, be a part of it. And anyways, this is what this is all about. Now, we're going to say the prayer of salvation, because according to what the Apostle Paul taught us right there, we've got to judge ourselves. Verse 28, judge yourself. Nobody else is judging you. I'm not judging you. When the children of Israel brought their sacrificial lamb to the priest for the Day of Atonement, the priest didn't judge the person. He already knew they had sinned because they're human. He judged the sacrifice. And the sacrifice is holy. You and I now must be in right standing with God. All of us together are going to pray the prayer of salvation. It's the prayer of salvation, the prayer of rededication, and the prayer of hallelujah, I'm walking with God. Everybody pray this with me now in Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
Give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Put your arms out and say, and I receive you into my life right now.
And I receive you into my life right now.
All of your grace and mercy.
All of your grace and mercy.
All of your love and righteousness.
All of your love and righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the Word of God.
Understand the Word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen and amen, amen and amen.
Amen and amen.
Now, welcome to the kingdom of God. Those of you that just prayed that prayer for the first time, I'm getting back feet off you guys' mics or something. I'll be right back. You make sure you kick your mics back on when it comes time to say the communion prayer, okay? I'm getting a back feed from something. Now, those of you that just prayed the prayer of salvation, welcome to the kingdom of God. You might be saying, Pastor, I just experienced something going on inside me. Yeah, what you experienced is you just welcomed Jesus to come into your life. And he did. Now watch this. You said all of your love, mercy, grace, and righteousness. All of that just came and filled your being. Jesus is the light of the world. Light just filled your whole being. You were just reconciled to the Father, and now your spirit man is in perfect communion with God Almighty. All of that just happened in that 2-minute prayer. I know. Some of you are like, I had no idea all that happened when I prayed the prayer of salvation. Yeah, and so much more. You just were transformed from the kingdom of darkness into the light. All of your sin was just totally washed away. And God, through Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, gave you Jesus' righteousness. Your righteousness will never be good, neither will mine. But Jesus' righteousness is. That's one of the first teachings we want to help you understand. My email address is right there in the notes of this program. Not the comments, in the notes. And I want you to send me an email and say, hey, Pastor, send me some videos. I got a bunch of videos I'll send you. I'll send them to you one at a time about the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus and who you are in him being reconciled. Why? Because it's the most important thing that just happened to you, is you now in right standing with the Father. Our place in your life from this day forward is to help you learn to take this book and just believe what it says and then grow and be developed in the things of God so that you can use your faith like a wrench for a mechanic, like a pen for a writer. Amen? You can use your faith like a wrench and it'll produce what God wants you to have in your life and what he wants you to get accomplished.
In
Jesus' mighty name. You ready? Let's receive our communion elements together. Hold your elements up. And now, I need to make this statement. No matter who you are, no matter what church you came from, there's no place in the Bible that says you can only take communion with your pastor. Should you take communion with your pastor? Yes. But anytime the body of Christ is broken and his blood is shed like this, you are completely right standing with God to receive it. I've been in Catholic, Baptist, Methodist, Lutheran, Presbyterian, Episcopalian. I've taken communion in all kinds of churches where they would let me. And where they wouldn't let me, I didn't ever go back. You don't even know who you are if you won't let somebody take communion. All right. I'm not preaching. I'm receiving communion. Pray this prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I bless these elements.
I bless these elements.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded
for my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace.
The chastisement for my peace
is upon you, Lord.
It's upon you.
And by your stripes I am healed.
By your stripes I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotion.
In my mind, my will, and my emotion.
Nothing missing, nothing broken. Every joint supplying.
Every joint supplying.
In my body.
In my body.
From your broken body, Jesus.
From your broken body, Jesus.
In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community of faith.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Let's receive his broken body together.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Lord, that you endured the cross, despising the shame, honored it all joy. And now we lift up the cup of blessing, the blood of Jesus. Say this with me, by the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation with you, my Father.
I have reconciliation with you, my Father.
Man, that'd make you want to shout, doesn't it? Woo! By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every sin is placed in remission.
Every sin has been placed in remission.
And my life forever.
in my life forever.
I am a new creation.
I am a new creation.
All things have passed away.
And
all things have become new.
And all things have become new.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I come boldly to the throne room of grace.
I come boldly to the throne room of grace.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
For my assignment every day.
For my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every plague has to pass over.
Every plague has to pass over.
And cannot be on me or my family.
And cannot be on me or my family.
My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white.
My robes are made white.
And I will always be.
And I will always be.
The glorious church.
The glorious church.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
When you come for me.
When you come for me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's receive his bloodshed. And if you're new, I'll say it again. I like this cup. Though your sins were red as crimson, they shall be as white as snow when you add the blood of Jesus. Glory be to God. Let's sing our song. The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never power. You know what's awesome about that is we just sang that song in North Dakota, where I am, in Louisiana, where Phyllis is, and in Michigan, where Sister Sunday is, and where all the rest of you are. Sister Kathy Angaroni's in North Carolina. Sister Rebecca Smith is in Lansing, Michigan. Rebecca Smith just spoke the blood of Jesus over the state capitol. Get him, Rebecca. Turn that place upside down for Jesus, ma'am. And then Brother Julian and Bamala all the way in Malaysia. Sister Mary Fernandez in Singapore. Our brother Haroon in the Pakistan. And Brother Tanbir in Pakistan. See, guys.
I made a mistake tonight, and I have to correct it. 300 is 1/10 of 3,000.
Right, but it was 30,000.
Okay.
So you was right. It was 1%.
All right.
Good job.
Thank you.
I believed you whether it was right or wrong, so be careful what you say. Well, I hope, Sister Nicole, we sure hope you come back and join us. Bring your friends. We're serious about it. Bring your friends. This is an awesome Bible study. We're on YouTube Live and Facebook Live on Blog Talk Radio. And everything that we do has got my name in it, Samuel J. Cottle, so that you have the ability to find me no matter what we call it. Not everybody can remember the title you might give it, but they always remember your name. And so we're glad to have you, Nicole. Thank you for all of your encouragement over the weekend. I really appreciate it. I'll tell you what, Minnesota showed up at that meeting in North Dakota. And that's an interesting game. Fellas, what are you showing us?
That's a picture of my youngest son back there. And I touched the, and so it turned the camera instead of on me. It's pointing behind my computer. Now I don't know whether, if I touch it, it might go off. But
so,
anyway, that's a picture of my youngest son.
Yeah, just touch that one spot over there. That's awesome. Well, we still want you to read to us, even if we are looking at your youngest son.
Okay. All right. Well, you know I have to find it.
Well, I also know that your Bible is worn right to that page, so it'll be quick.
It did. It knows its way right to the right place. Okay. Gladly. I love you. All right. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise and glory
and majesty,
dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen and amen.
Thank you, Sister Phyllis. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And thank you, Brother Jude, for such a powerful set of verses. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Well, guys, that's not all I've got to say, but that's all I'm going to say. Phyllis, thank you for being here and being a part, Sister Sunday. Sister Nicole, Sister Leanne, thank you. Rebecca Smith, thank you for all of your help and your powerful words. Kathy Marie Angaroni, we love you. And Brother Roger, I don't know where you are tonight, but we missed you. Christopher Andrew Dennis, we love you, brother. God bless you. Mary Pastorek, thanks for being here. Julian and Bamala, we love you all the way to Malaysia and back. Brother Dan, Sister Gwen, we love you guys. We love the community of faith. All of you that are listening, that we didn't mention your name because we don't know it. Shoot us a note. Send us an email. Send me a text or an instant message. We'll be glad to be your friend and help you walk with God with us. I have a messenger thread where I post music every day. I got a list of 175 songs or something. And we do worship from 6 p.m. Eastern to 7, 5 p.m. to 6 on Central Time Zone. And it's just our way of being able to worship together with the same songs. And it's an assignment that God gave me back a long time ago when we first started this. If you want to be a part of that messenger thread, send me an email, text, just contact me and say, Pastor, make a part of that. And then you can worship at the same songs we do. And they're a powerful set of worship songs. And I change them around every day, add new songs as we go. And it's a great time, whether you're making supper, driving home from work, whatever you're doing. Any way that we can be a blessing to you will be a blessing. Now, in about 35 minutes, I'll be catching this up on the Read the Word. I only got one day, and then we'll be doing the other Read the Word. So we'll do two Read the Words tonight. And you can see that if you If you like or subscribe to YouTube or the Blog Talk Radio channel, be notified. Then as soon as we put one up, it'll notify you that it's there, and you'll be able to be a part of it. Well, I got lots to say, lots more to say about this weekend at the Victory Campaign. But until we see you again, whether it's tonight in a few minutes on the Read the Word, tomorrow at noon for rebuilding the walls of righteousness, tomorrow night for establishing your faith, we want you to know this. You guys ready, Sunday and Phyllis, you ready? We want you to know this. We love you.
We love you.
And God loves you.
God loves you. And God loves you.
Jesus is Lord.
And Jesus is Lord. Amen.
I love what God is doing in this group of believers. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Put your hands out and say, I receive.
I receive.
The hundredfold return.
The hundredfold return.
You have for my life.
You have for my life, Lord.
Help me preach the gospel with it.
Help me preach the gospel.
Right here and around the world.
Right here and around the world.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
All right. See you soon.